Hey, we're continuing on with our Gospel Life series this week, okay? And we are in Mark chapter 1. You guys get your Bibles?
Yeah.
Pop those Bibles open. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 34. So you can peek there. As you're turning there, I want to tell you, I was at this dinner the other day. Or not the other day, it was a while back. And it was one of those like kind of fancy ones where everybody kind of gets together and there's a lot of big round tables and people just sit around and mingle and talk and stuff like that. I don't know if you've ever gone to one of those. But I'm just sitting there, and I didn't really know a lot of people. And it's not Matt's wedding, by the way. You're all going to think it was Matt's wedding. It wasn't. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm at this table, and I don't know, like, anyone at it. And it was so awkward. Have you ever been in a situation like that? And you have to, like, eat, and then you don't know what to say to the people around you, so you just keep, like, sticking food in your mouth. They think you're a pig because you don't want to talk, so you're like, oh, my mouth's full, sorry, and you keep eating. No, you're, oh, okay, I'm the only one. That's embarrassing. So. Oh, okay. So I'm like sitting there, and so finally I'm like, I gotta talk to this lady because I don't want to be antisocial. So I start talking to her, and I'm noticing this food is like, you know, it's all right. It's not great. And she's like, so how's the food? And I was like, well, it's okay. You know, like it's kind of bland, and bread's a little dry. And I'm just going on, just being honest about what I thought about it. And I'm telling her and telling her and telling her. And then you got it, dude. Yeah. And so as we keep talking, I'm like, so, you know, how are you doing? She's talking to me. And somebody walks up from another table and goes right up behind her, pats her on the back, and is like, food was fabulous. Thank you so much. And I'm like, oh, no. I turn bright red. I'm like, I'm talking to the cook right now, telling her how horrible her food is. It was horrible. Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't stab me with a fork or something. That'd be bad. But she didn't, so I survived it, and I had to apologize. And I felt really, really bad. And as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to look at kind of a similar situation, what's going on here, that might be true in our lives when we talk about gospel life. And so keep that in mind. Let's read the passage real quick first, and then we'll go more into it. Here we go. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. We're talking about Jesus here. He was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, that's a demon. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once, his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, as we're looking at this passage, Jesus is going around and he is healing people. He's casting out demons out of people. He's teaching the word of God. He's teaching them about salvation. And what's happening is that even when he comes up to someone with a demon possessing them, he is able to look at them and the demon looks back and goes, I know you. Like, I've heard of you. I know who this guy is in front of me. And they would shudder in fear. Like the demons scared out of their minds. And so the people are watching Jesus, and as he's able to heal people and be like, you, get out of him and cast the demons out. They're like, whoa, this isn't just another dude who goes around teaching. This isn't just a scribe who can tell you all about like the law and all sorts of stuff from the Bible. He's not just somebody who can quote scripture. This guy knows scripture enough to use it in an authoritative way. Remember we talked about this armor for a while? We did a whole series on the armor. A spiritual armor that we can use in a spiritual war that we're in. And we see another instance where Jesus is able, because he's wearing that spiritual armor, he's able to use it in this fight. And so as we look tonight, let's start off with verse 21 and just see a few things about Jesus that help us understand what a gospel life looks like, okay? And so verse 21 says, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, look what he does. He entered the synagogue and was teaching. You know what's really, really awesome about someone who's living a gospel life? And we're looking at Jesus himself, the greatest example we could have of this. They teach. They love to tell people about their faith. They love to tell people about who Jesus Christ is and what this gospel is. And we see Jesus right away. It says immediately on that Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he starts teaching people the truth. It was so urgent to Jesus. It was so important for people to understand how they could have salvation, to know who God was. So here's my question for you guys. For us, as we're Christ followers, as we say we believe in Jesus, do we have this urgency in our hearts to make sure people know this gospel that we have? Do we have the urgency to be teaching all the time, to be telling people about our faith and what's in our heart and what God's done for us? Is there an excitement to do that, or is it more of like a fear? Because I know that I've sat in that chair before in my life where I was just scared to death to tell people about my faith. I was like, how are you going to ask me to go talk to somebody about that? It's just hard to do, and I don't know how to say it, and I can't express it, and they might laugh at me. And I was just scared. But the more I started to understand who Jesus is and how amazing he is, it was like, I really don't care what they think, because Jesus is better than whatever they're going to say back to me. And they need to know him. And so one awesome thing about living a gospel life is that people who live gospel lives love to tell people about Christ. They just love to share that gospel with people, and they love to teach. Look at verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching. Now, I don't know if you come here on Sunday mornings, but on Sunday mornings, our pastor Titus has been teaching a series called Who's Your Five? And I explained some of this last week. Anybody remember what that means? Why does he ask us, who's your five? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have at least five people? Five is just a random number he picked, but at least five people. Like, are there people in your life that you're trying to tell about Jesus about to them? People that you want to like lead along in the faith? Maybe you're just telling them, hey, you need Jesus and I have him and I'd love to tell you what he's done for me in my life. Or invite him to church or an activity that you're doing with your fire station or something so that they can get involved in conversations about Jesus. Is that important to you? Because as Christ followers, if we're going to live a gospel life, I don't care how old you are, if you're a Christ follower and you're living a gospel life, this should be something that is the center of who you are. And you should want to tell people about Jesus because that's what a Christ follower does. And because he's so awesome. And so one thing that we see Jesus doing is he's teaching these people and they're astonished at his teaching, like they're responding to it. You know, I challenge you guys, be thinking, who is your five? Who are five people in your life? If you could close your eyes right now, just kind of think in your head, who are five people in my life that need to know Jesus, that might not know him? Who are a couple people in my life that maybe know him, but they need to grow closer to him? Maybe you can kind of like bring them to church and get them involved in Bible studies and help them know Jesus more. But do you have five people that you could close your eyes right now and just kind of think of? Like think of five different names of people that you're actively trying to just like share your faith with. To teach like Jesus taught and astonish them with who Jesus is so that they understand this gospel that they need so much. I want to challenge you guys to do that. There's a lot of people on this campus right now that are doing this. They're just concerned with the fact that people need Christ. And so they're thinking of who their five is, and they challenge us as well to join that and say, hey, we need to be interested in the gospel. So let's think who our five are this week. Look at verse 22. We'll finish it. It says, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes were people who like wrote down the law and these guys knew all sorts of stuff about the Bible. They were very, very well educated. They were really smart and they could answer pretty much any question you had. But when people looked at scribes, they didn't necessarily think, oh, they actually lived this out. Or they're actually somebody who understands what this really means. It was kind of like that person that can like quote a whole lot of scripture, but just still lives like however they want. Like scripture doesn't actually affect their life and they don't do all that stuff that they have memorized and can quote to you. That's kind of like the thought of a scribe here. But when they saw Jesus come in and teach this stuff, they're like, whoa, he's not just like citing it. Like he doesn't just know it from memory. He actually lives it out. This guy actually has authority and the things that he teaches, he's doing. This is crazy. He's so powerful. And he's like, when it says authority, it's saying Jesus, he's got this to a point where it's not just up here, it's in here And then all of a sudden, he's able to go around and actually do it. Now, when we talk about a gospel life, that's pretty much what we're saying. That it's not just that we can say the gospel, or even that we have the verses about it memorized, but that we live the gospel. We have it in here. And we're actually living this thing out. So when people see you, they're like, wow, they must know Jesus. There's something so different about them. They don't just say they go to church and like tell me I should, but like they actually act like Jesus. Like, this is so weird. This person must have authority in what they're saying because they're actually living it. And so when we say gospel life, it means we're living this gospel. We're living like Christ lived with this authority. We know this because how many of you guys know what the Great Commission is? Any smarty pants in the room? What's the Great Commission? Go ahead. Yeah.
Go forth to all the world and teach the word of God, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. What is this thing that we're talking about, that we're quoting and explaining? What is it? Who gave this to us?
Jesus.
And who did Jesus give it to? His disciples and us, right? People who follow him. So it's basically our mission, right? Like, he put us on this mission. Remember, we're talking about a war. And we're talking about having all this armor and all this stuff and how we fight. Well, guess what the mission is? To go into all the world and share the gospel with every last creature. Every human being in this world needs to hear. And so let me read this actually from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. This is the Great Commission. Here it is. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, look what they did. They worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, here's something really awesome about this. This kind of parallels what we're seeing Jesus actually do in this chapter we're looking at. Because we're talking about authority. And look what Jesus says about himself there. He says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Well, here's the deal. If this is the mission, some of us might be like these disciples were at the beginning. It says they saw Jesus and some worshiped. Well, they all worshiped, but then some doubted in their heart. So you see like the king of the universe walk in and you're like, whoa, it's Jesus. And you fall on your face and you're like, I'm going to worship this guy. And then like some still had doubt in their heart. And I feel like what if we were talking about us? What if that was us? That some of us believe in Jesus and we get it, but we still have this doubt in our heart at the same time. And you know what Jesus says to them? That's when he gives the Great Commission to them. He says, hey, don't worry, don't doubt. If you're that person that has that little bit of doubt and you're like, I don't know if I can live a gospel life because that means I have to give everything to Jesus. And I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Jesus goes like this. He says, you know what? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And if I have all authority, then what are you worried about? Why do you need to be worried? Why do you need a doubt? I have all of the authority. And guess what? As you go, okay, fine, Jesus, you have all the authority, and now I can actually live that gospel life and teach people with that same authority. You know why? Because at the end he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So guess what authority you have? As Jesus lives in you with that same authority, and as you bring the gospel to people that don't know it, you have the authority of Jesus Christ. So now when people look at you, it's just like this passage where Jesus was teaching and people are like, whoa, he's teaching with authority. He's not just teaching like the scribes do. This guy is teaching with authority. This is crazy. What he's saying, he's actually living out. And there's power in it. And some of us are like, well, I just don't know if I can share that with people because I'm scared and I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, guess what? You are. You know why? Because if you believe in Christ, he's with you always and he has the authority. So as you live this gospel life, his authority is making it possible for you to not have to worry. And you can freely live for Jesus and say, I'm giving all of it to you because I can trust you completely and totally. No more doubts. I'm all yours, Jesus. I just think it's crazy that there's so many believers that worship Jesus, but yet there's so many of us that still doubt. I just wonder if some of us are in that boat tonight. that we're kind of sitting here like, yeah, like I love Jesus and I know he's real, but I don't know if I can give my whole life to him. There's some doubt in my heart. I love that he reminds his disciples of this, because if you're in that boat, you're his disciple. And he's looking right at you going, my authority is yours because I promise to be with you forever. Whew. You couldn't ask for anything better than that, guys. I'll tell you right now from my own life experience, there is nothing better than Jesus Christ. He's worth you taking your whole life and saying, it's yours, Jesus. Have all of it. Because his promises, he keeps. Look at verse 23. It says, and immediately, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Here comes the demons. Remember when we talked about the spiritual warfare and the armor? We talked about how Satan loves to target the people that are living most strongly for Jesus. So if Chelsea's like, I'm living it out for Christ, I'm going to tell people about him. You know what Satan wants to do? He goes up to Chelsea and draws a big old target right on her head and says, all right, everybody, demon buddies, come on. Target her. She's living too much for Jesus. It's like when I spit at the front row. I target you guys and sorry if I got you on that one. And so they target you. And listen, this happens here. Here's Jesus. He's in the synagogue. He's preaching. Guess what happens? Boom. Here come the demons. Here comes the oppression, the opposition speaking out against Jesus. But I think it's really neat. Listen to this. I think it's really neat what they say. Because it's not like they're like trying to like slam Jesus at all. They're not even trying to fight Jesus in this because they know who he is. Listen to their words. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. We read that. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? They're scared. What are you going to do to us? Oh no! And then they go, have you come to destroy us? Like, these are enemies of Jesus himself. His enemies on the other side of the battlefield. And all of a sudden, this, the Son of God himself walks up to them and they're like, he's gonna get us. Have you ever seen The Lion King where the fat pig's stuck in the tree? You guys know what I'm talking about? And like the lion's running at him, he's like, she's gonna eat me. Have you ever seen that? All right, well, that's my favorite part of that movie. That's what I think of. These demons are like, he's gonna eat us. Bro, you wouldn't eat him. That'd be weird. But like, he's gonna get us. Like, what are you doing? You're Jesus. We know who you are. And listen to what they say. I know who you are. The demons knew right away. And they were scared out of their minds because he came with authority. You know why? Because he's God of all creation. He's not Santa Claus. He's not some made-up dude we tell stories about. He's not some wise old prophet that we're like, oh, good guy. He's a great guy. He is the God who put every molecule in this universe together with his own power. He knit you together. He made everything that exists, the stars that are up there, everything. He's powerful. So these demons look at him and they're like, ah, he's going to get us. Like, we know who you are, Jesus. And I just wonder, as we think about Jesus, do we have that same respect? Do we think about our Jesus as this powerful, amazing God who maybe at times even makes us shake and tremble a little bit just because he's so huge and powerful? But that we know he loves us so much we have no need to fear. We love him so much that we can't help but cry out. I mean, listen, these demons are crying out. They're yelling out. They're so vocal about who Jesus is. He has to actually tell them to be quiet. He doesn't let them talk. And I think all the people that he has saved from their sin, that he died on a cross for. And I think, how come so often we're not that vocal? So often he finds us with our mouths shut, afraid to even talk about him. And these demons, his arch enemies, are crying out his name. And they're not saying bad stuff. They're saying, you're the Holy One of God. Like, they're praising him basically just in saying that. What are his people doing? How often do you find yourself with your mouth just kind of closed, not talking about Jesus? Don't let the demons beat you. Don't let the demons be more vocal about it than you, who's a child of God. Let's be vocal. Let's find our five. Let's go tell the world that Jesus is awesome, how big he is, that he should make us shudder because he's that powerful, but that he loves us so much we don't need to fear him. That he's done something so amazing, we should be loud about it and excited about it and jump up for joy. And I'm not saying that your whole Christianity should just be like this, these fuzzy feelings inside, but I am saying that if you really get who Jesus is, if you really understand Him, not just what we talk about Him, but really get just how big Jesus is, it should move you emotionally. You should get excited about Him, because I don't know how you could look at the God of all creation and not get excited about that. Take your pulse. You must be dead. Make sure you're alive. Because He's that awesome. He's so awesome that even the demons are like, whoa, don't kill us. Like, you are the Holy One of God. Whew, this is a good passage. All right, so then it goes on. It says, verse 25, I'm going to read a few verses here. Look at all this stuff. Let's remind ourselves what Jesus does. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. He's like, be quiet. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once, his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Now look what else he does. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John, with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. So Simon's mom's sick. She's got a fever. She's like really, really sick, lying in bed, can't even get out of bed. And immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Boom. The fever left her. And she began, look what she does. What does she do? She starts to serve him. Like, have you ever been at home when your mom's sick? Anybody, like, what's that like at your house when mom's sick? How's dinner time when mom's sick? Tell you, ain't fun. Woo, peanut butter and jelly. Mom's not cooking tonight. Mom's laying in bed. You bring mom chicken soup or else bad news for you, right? Ain't a fun place to be. This woman was like deathly sick with a fever. Jesus picks her up, and once she's up, guess what? She's like, feels so much better. She's not like mom when she's sick. She's running around, like getting the food ready, serving them, doing all this stuff. I mean, she's feeling better. She's like, woohoo, the Son of God's in my house. This is awesome. Like, boom, he's healing people instantly. He's casting out demons. Jesus is doing this amazing stuff, and people are like, this isn't just some other dude. This isn't just some other guy. This isn't just Rob Jones preaching. This is actually Jesus. Like, he is the Son of God. Look how powerful he is. My heart breaks that so often we don't get that excited about Jesus. That so often we just don't get who he is. Now look at me, listen to me. These people got it. These people saw this guy and they didn't just think, oh, it's another preacher. He tells a good story. These people said, this really is the Son of God. And you know what? It changed them. They responded like it really was the Son of God standing in front of them. We have the Son of God who is living literally inside of us. Does that excite you? Do you get who he is? Like, really get who he is to the point where you're like, Jesus, whoo, I get who you are. Take my whole life. Because to live a gospel life, I feel like we need to be at that point where we can say, look, my whole life is about the gospel because I know how much you're worth it. But until we know how much he's worth it, I just don't know if we could get there. And these people got it. They're like, he's the Son of God. You know, the awesome thing about Jesus, if we're living gospel lives, is that he was serving people. So as you do get it, as you do understand how awesome he is, and you're like, I'm living this gospel life, you know what you'll do? You'll start to love other people too. You won't just love God, but you're going to love other people the way God loves them. And you'll be serving people and ministering. You won't just be thinking about your own iPod and clothes and shoes and whatever else, your sports. You'll be thinking about how the people around you feel. If their hearts are broken, what their lives are like, who's sick. You'll be looking to see how you can serve other people and love other people. Maybe your own parents. Mom and Dad are having a really bad day today. Can I pray for them? Can I stop and pray for my parents? Don't raise your hands, but I just wonder how many of you pray for your parents. Do you take the time to just sit there and like, God bless my parents today? Do you pray for your teachers? Do you pray for your friends? Do you pray for me? Do you pray for your pastor and your youth leaders? Listen, as you live a gospel life, you should be looking to serve other people and love other people because Jesus did that for you. And we see Jesus here. He's all about it. He's like healing people and ministering to people. And look, if you don't get this, if we don't realize this, that He really does love us enough that when you're in pain and you're suffering, Jesus wants to heal it. Jesus really does care about the pain in your heart. And He's going around all over the place ministering to people who are in pain and suffering and sick and demon-possessed. He cares. He's not just some big God up there just like just drifting off in space, sitting on a cloud playing a little whatever. I don't know how you play it. If Nick was here, he'd play something for us. But anyway, He's not just up there playing His little harp. He's actually here concerned with you, and He looks at you, and He loves you, and He knows when your heart hurts and breaks. He knows when people just like destroy your feelings and make you feel bad, and He knows when things are going rough at home. He knows all that. He knows when you feel like you're not worth anything. He knows when you're full of yourself and you think you're worth everything. Like and I'm not saying that because He's this big God up there like, oh, I know what you're thinking, you know, like Santa. I know what you do when you're right and wrong, whatever. I forgot how the song went. Left my head.
He's a stalker. He should be arrested.
Exactly. He's not some big weird stalker in the sky. He actually is concerned with you and loves you. See, there's a difference. But I feel like sometimes we do. We think of Him that way and we're like, He doesn't care about me. Where is He? And we ignore the whole fact that He loves you so much He died on a cross for you. And He's given everything for you. The passage finishes up with this one verse. It says, "And He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And He would not permit the demons to speak." Like, He wouldn't even let the demons speak because they kept calling out that He was the Son of God. He's like, shh, you can't even say that. Be quiet. And this is why. Because they knew Him. And there it is again. You think there's a point to this passage? You think there's something that's being repeated over and over here? People, demons, everyone and everything that Jesus comes in contact with sees who He really is. As people meet the Son of God who created everything, who keeps everything in existence, who redeems everything, they don't walk away the same. They look at the Son of God in the face and go, whoa, that's Jesus. And I just ask ourselves, like, do we really know Him? There's a verse in the Bible about a soldier. Remember when Jesus is being crucified and He's hanging on the cross? It's Mark 15:39. This is what He says. He says, "And when the centurion soldier who stood facing Him saw that in this way He breathed His last breath," talking about Jesus, "he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." Now, I just want you to close your eyes for 1 second and imagine something with me. Imagine that you were that soldier. Imagine that you had just taken a hammer and driven nails through the hands and feet of this guy, this criminal who deserved it. And you helped bring this cross up and hang Him there. You spit on Him. You yelled things to Him and mocked Him. You threw lots on the ground to like see who got His clothes and His sandals. And then after a few minutes, you watch how He sits there, and with every bad word that's shouted at Him, He receives it with love and with kindness. And that He never once shouts out an evil word in return. And the more you watch this guy after you've done all this and nailed Him to that cross, the more you realize, holy cow, what did we do? We just hung the Son of God on a cross. We just killed the guy who came to die for us and save us. The most perfect person in this world, we hung Him up and killed Him. And then He says these words, "Truly this man was the Son of God." You can open your eyes. Can you just imagine what this guy was feeling? The regret, I can because I know that as I live my life, sometimes I treat him that same way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, I treat him like I don't even know who he is. Then all of a sudden I look up and go, what have I been doing to you? You're the Son of God. Look at how I've been living my life. Look at how I've been treating you like you're just some other schmo that I hung on a cross when you're Jesus. If we're going to live gospel lives, we need to truly know who he is. I challenge you to take some time and just pray to him and say, God, show me who you really are. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you so much. And we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, has died for us. God, that he is so amazing. He's worth us giving our whole life to. God, there's nothing else worth it but Jesus. Help us, God, to be able to do that. To surrender all of us, every bit of it. In excitement of who you are, God, thrill us. Give us joy in our hearts knowing you. That we see you and just fall in awe like Isaiah before your throne and just throw ourselves before you because you're worth it. God, help us to be vocal. Help us to find our five that we can share this awesome news with. Help us to be bold about our faith. God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.